For more than 40 years, the best-selling tabloid newspaper in Britain showed photos of topless women almost every day. The paper is The Sun, and this happened on page 3. Well, as of this week, the women on that page are wearing clothes. Not a lot, but they're not topless. The end of this tabloid era follows years of campaigning by feminist groups, which the paper's owner Rupert Murdoch had long ignored. Vicky Barker reports from London, starting with an advertisement that exemplified the old version of page 3.
Hello, boys. Look at your woman. Now back to me. Now back at your woman. Now back to me.
In this 2010 ad marking the 40th anniversary of The Sun's page 3 feature, a model sways in front of a running shower, her towel almost losing its battle with gravity. Feeding male fantasies on a daily basis was part of the formula that helped Rupert Murdoch turn the failing daily he acquired in 1969 into Britain's biggest-selling newspaper. Steve Hewlett is a British media commentator.
When this started, it was all about an offer to a key constituency, if you like, the working bloke, to say, we'll give you what you want. Don't let the BBC or the feminists tell you you can't have it. We're there for you. Well, the world has now moved on.
There's been no public announcement from The Sun, but another Murdoch-owned paper, The Times of London, confirms that Friday's topless page 3 girl, and they're always called girls, would be the last.
Feel no freedom once we heal the mind.
This is the No More Page 3 campaign song, played as activists posted a huge collage on YouTube comprising all the images of men and of women from 3 months of The Sun. The men are all athletes, leaders, almost always shown in motion. The women, even when clothed, are almost all passive and pouting. To the campaigners, page 3 was just the tip of a cultural iceberg. Stella Creasy is a British lawmaker.
It wasn't about page 3 being offensive, but about the impact on our society of judging men and women by different standards and basically saying that we didn't need boobs with our breakfast tables.
This is, however, not the end of page 3 as a showcase for female flesh. Today's edition shows three bikini-clad soap actresses frolicking on a beach in that slot. Lucy Ann Holmes helped spearhead the No More Page 3 campaign. She calls today's announcement a start.
I can't stand here and say it's an amazing day for women and female representation in the media when essentially all The Sun have done is they've stopped showing nipples, but they're now going to show women in bikinis or underwear, say.
Several former Page 3 models have today been mourning the feature's end and defending what they have called their personal decision to display their bodies. Among them, Laura LaCole from Northern Ireland.
It's a sad day. For me, I feel that this isn't a triumph for feminism. It's a triumph for prudishness. I have made this choice. I want to openly and freely express my sexuality. There's no sort of men forcing me into this.
The topless models have only vanished from print editions of The Sun. They can still be viewed in the paper's subscription-only online edition. And several analysts speculate that Rupert Murdoch may yet reintroduce the feature if he loses too many readers to rivals which continue to show nude women. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.
Patriots may have been victorious this past Sunday, but there is a cloud over their trouncing of the Indianapolis Colts. The NFL is looking into allegations that the Patriots deflated the football to give themselves an advantage. While we wait for an official verdict, we asked NPR science correspondent Jeff Brumfield to investigate.
First, I found two scientists qualified to impartially analyze Deflategate. John Eric Goff, a physicist at Lynchburg College of Virginia, studies the science of sports. More importantly,
not really a fan of either team.
Anissa Ramirez is author of Newton's Football, about the science of football.
I'm secretly a 49ers fan, and the people around me are Giants fans.
So, no conflicts of interest. What do these two researchers think?
Deflating the ball does give a team an advantage. The ball is slightly squishier, and particularly during that game, which was very rainy, it's hard to hold the ball, it's hard to catch the ball. So by making it a little softer, it's easier to catch the ball.
A flat ball means a better grip for quarterbacks and receivers. On the other hand,
there is a slight disadvantage if you reduce the mass of the ball, which happens if you let a little bit of air out. The ball can decelerate a little bit faster when you throw it.
And that means it won't go as far on each throw. On balance, Ramirez and Goff agree. Grippiness trumps the weight problems. Still, Goff doubts the ball was deliberately deflated. The referees handle the ball on every play. They'd feel if it was deflated.
You just can't imagine a ball being underinflated for a significant portion of the game to make a difference and not be noticed by the referee.
However, Ramirez says tampering has happened before. In the 1990s, kickers in the NFL were secretly trying to soften up the ball to make it go further. They came up with all sorts of tricks.
Microwave it, hammer it, Gatorade it, dip it in milk, steam bath it, put it in the dryer, inflated, deflated.
It got so bad, the NFL now brings in special kicking balls from the factory before each game. Ramirez says coaches and players want to win, and they'll do anything.
Any little advantage that you can get, if it's modifying the ball or the temperature of the stadium, all these things play to giving you an opportunity to score. And no one's above it.
NFL Rule 2, Section 1 clearly states balls must be inflated between 12.5 and 13.5 pounds per square inch. The league confirmed to NPR they are investigating the ball pressure at Sunday's game. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.